The following audio is from The Well. We are a church that is committed to gospel growth, family formation, and missional engagement in Hastings, Nebraska. More information about The Well can be found at www.thewellhastings.com. We hope the message you are about to hear will spur you on to growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be formed as a follower of Jesus, and to be engaged in the mission of Jesus to seek and to save the lost within a yard of hell.
Name's Larry Molman. I am not a teacher, I'm a preacher. You will see the difference as I speak. Just a man in love with the Word of God is basically what I am. So let's pray a little bit. Father, I ask you to come into this place, that your Holy Spirit would be known here, felt here, in it through your Word as we go through it, Lord, that you would make it very clear to all of us that you are in control, that you are always God, you are always good, and you're always there. Lord, we thank you for that. Father, my heart's heavy for the flood victims in Texas and all around the nation. I have no words to say, but you promise, dear Jesus, to intercede for me when all I can do is groan. So I'm groaning to you today, Lord. Please bring peace, bring comfort, bring everything that's needed there. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Psalm 64. Tell you the truth, the first time I read this, I was a little bit confused. Why and what and how and who? But the Holy Spirit's allowed me some answers that I'm trying to try and share. I'm not going to say I'm going to do a great job of it. First off, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here. Because of illness and near death, I haven't been able to be in a pulpit for it's 11 months now. So this is the first time back to a pulpit. If you know the heart of a preacher needs to have a pulpit. He needs people to talk to. So some people have been corralled by me alone, and they got preached to because they didn't have a choice. How's that? I do what I do because I am who I am. So this morning, look at all. This is fantastic for me. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who are sharpen their tongues like a sword. They aim their bitter speech as their arrow. Shoot at him from concealment, shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose, and they talk of lying snares and secretly saying, they say, who can see them? They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot. For the inward thought and heart of a man are deep, deep. I can't get down that far. But God will shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly, they will be wounded, so they will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. Then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad, and the Lord will they'll be glad in the Lord and take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will glory. I should just stop there and let the Holy Spirit fill you with that. But then the 45 minutes that I'm supposed to fill up here would be pretty short. And I can't make the clock run that much faster. But what I can do is give you a little bit of insights. I want to ask you a few questions that just to bring some thought to mind. First off, hear my voice, oh my God, in my complaint. Other versions of the Bible, in the King James, said, hear my, in my prayers. God allows us to tell him anything we want to tell him. We can ask for anything we want. We can express what's in our heart. We can say to God anything. He's not going to condemn us for that. He really wants a relationship with us that's real. Not the, Lord, you're so blessed and powerful and blah, 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 blah. When you're feeling, Lord, why is this happening to me? What's going on? How come, Lord? What's the matter? What can I do? He wants to hear those things too. Praising the Lord is one thing. Speaking to the Lord with your mouth and your heart is totally another thing. Your praise can come from your heart, but your anguish comes from your belly, from your soul, the deepest parts of us. God wants to hear those things. The request here was, preserve my life from the dread, of the enemy. Dread, fear, I can't stand this, they're after me. How many of us deal with an unfounded fear? I'm honest with myself, I'll tell you, I'm afraid of the dark. Scared to death of the dark. So I keep my house as black as possible. I walk through my house at nighttime with my eyes closed because I'm afraid of the dark. I have to face that fear, and my human self tells me I'm not a man unless I can. And I'm still afraid of the dark. That's an unfounded fear. God doesn't want me to carry that, and he will relieve me from that. But I don't know that I've ever asked him to remove that from me. There's a great, I can't think of the word now, so, oh well. There's great benefit in fear. Because if you're not afraid of stuff, you'll do anything. People are idiots. Watch some of the bikers out of this church. Just saying. I get to say that too because, yeah, some of them see me ride too. So, it's a little bit, but that fear, that dread of the enemy. Who's the enemy that we're talking about? David's talking about the Philistines and I believe the Moabites that fought against him everywhere he went. He was really, really afraid of Saul. 14 or 15 years roaming in the desert, hiding from Saul. He was scared. And he'd been anointed king already and was still hiding there. Saul had lost his anointing and still had his position. And David ran in fear and hid in fear. This is one of the most pronounced warriors of all time. He had more victory. When Saul really started hating David is when the women made the song up. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul got jealous. Anger filled his heart, and it never really left. Even when David proved he wouldn't hurt Saul, Saul would say, I'm never going to go after you again, and then he'd go after him again. Never going to try and kill you again, and then he'd try and kill him again. It wasn't until they were completely separated from each other that David had security in a land that wasn't his home, against people that he was at war with, but he found a security there in the midst of his enemies. So who is this enemy that we're facing now? I don't have people after me, I don't think. But I'm going to go on because I'll jump ahead of myself. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers and from the tumult of those who do iniquity. Tumult is that loud noise you hear in a concert or in a stadium or something. Really, it's chaos and it's loud and it's confusing. And some people it causes extreme anxiety. It can cause epileptic seizures in some people. They have to be very careful about where they go and who they're around. They have to be very careful not to get in those situations. But that tumult that David's talking about, where's that coming from? Is it from these evildoers? Do we have evildoers in our lives that are tumulting? It doesn't have to be a whole crowd. It can be one person that's constantly the dripping on your head, the thing that's constantly back of your mind, that there's this person that hates me, that wants my death, wants my destruction. That kind of tumult is what I think we can focus on here. They sharpen their tongue like a sword, and they aim their bitter speech as their arrows. The tongue is the most powerful muscle in your body. It can lift up giants and hold them in the air. It can also chop a giant down to his knees and drop him on the ground. Your tongue can exalt your neighbor to a point of excellence and great power. Your tongue can also cut that person down with a little bit of slander and a little bit of gossip. You can rip a whole family to shreds. You can rip a whole church to shreds. You can rip a whole community to shreds with your tongue and a few words. That's a very powerful tool, a very powerful weapon against us. David may have been talking about real arrows and real swords because he was in that position. I'm not. I don't know what war looks like. I've never been there. I've seen it on TV. I've talked about it with people that have been there and have had still suffering from the effects of war on them. But I don't know that. They shoot at him. Oh, let's see. They shoot from concealment at the blameless. They suddenly shoot at him and do not fear. Ones that are attacking us with slander or gossip or the other things that I said, ones that are trying to draw people away from us, ones that are trying to get enmity built up against us, most of them aren't doing it right to your face. If somebody's doing that to my face, I can deal with that. If somebody's doing it back here and I don't know about it, I'm still getting the arrows stuck in my back. I just don't know they're there until it's too late. And people in my life, people in my family, my friends, my community, they turn away from me. Not because of truth, but because they've heard. How often do we do that? How often has that happened to you? They do that without any fear. The fear it's talking about there is the fear of God. They don't have an understanding of what God's punishment, what God has planned for those that do such things. They don't understand that. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk lying snares secretly, and they say, who can see them? Because they don't believe God. They don't believe that he's omnipresent and omnipotent. They do not believe that. Even believers will do these things and not be in a position where they're believing that God's going to see what they're doing. It happens because we're humans. We're all stuck in a sinful flesh, in a sinful world, and we're humans, and we will do those things. The damage that does is horrendous. It's horrendous. They devise injustices, saying, we are ready with a well-conceived plot. This is others plotting against you. They may not even know they're doing it, but they go to their friend and say, did you hear what Larry did? And Larry is not you, me. Or maybe it was you. Me and Larry, brothers, we look exactly alike. Our mom didn't have any imagination when she named us. So, right? Okay, that sounds good to me, and it's your big lie, but that's okay. Today, because I admit it is a lie. We are ready with a well-conceived plot. when people are plotting, that's not really the intent of a good-hearted person. But it ends up being that way because we're not focusing on what should and shouldn't be done. We're not focused on what's right. We're focusing on what is right in our own heart, in our own head, not what's right in the world. There's been businesses destroyed because of these well-conceived plots. Okay, they like this, so I'm not going to buy anything from them, and I'm going to get everybody I know not to go buy anything from them. I don't care about all the people that have a job in this business that's going to lose their job. I care about the one guy that has the one statement that he says about something that I don't agree with. We just conceived a plot, and it's well conceived. I don't mean for that business to close, but it's going to. That's the outcome. That's where it goes when it goes that far. For the inward thought and heart of a man are deep. What does that mean? We just sang a song about the depths of our heart. What does it mean? What's in there? What's down there? If you have the Holy Spirit, if you've been blessed to become a believer and have been given the faith by God to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And where does He dwell? Is it your heart? If it was, we wouldn't be able to devise plots there. We wouldn't be able to draw evil out of there. Am I right? Or am I wrong? The Holy Spirit's job is to point our soul to God through the name of Jesus Christ, to point to the Lord. This is the way to go. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. He's telling us to fight against the things that are in the depths of our heart. He's not down there fighting them for us. He's telling us to fight against that. Our best weapon for that is the Word of God. Finding the things in the Word of God that tell us what to do and how to do it correctly. You want to know how to live and be a good Christian? Read the book of James. And then be convicted by all the things that you don't do. Because that's what happens. I read the book of James frequently, and it convicts me every time of the things that I don't do. It does help me to change to do those things and have a desire to do those things. But in this, verse 7, but God will shoot at them with an arrow. They're putting arrows against us. God has one arrow. Now suddenly they will be wounded. An arrow from God wounding us is piercing our heart. It's piercing the thing that's driving us to do these things that we shouldn't be doing to other people. They will make him stumble. Those arrows will make him stumble. Their own tongue is against them. All who see them will shake the head. The old King James says, flee away. Famously, Christ on the cross, who shook their heads at Jesus on the cross? The Pharisees, the religious people, the people that knew God, that knew the Scripture, they shook their head. They turned away. They fled away from Christ, not believing. All who see them will shake the head. Then men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what He has done. What has God done? He allowed sin in the world. He didn't create it. We nurture it. We build it up. We praise sin all the time. We have sinful thoughts. We have sinful desires. We have sinful beings. Our pride is the beginning of all sin, is what I believe, which leads to all kinds of corruption, all kinds of turning away, and we can justify it in our own head because that's what we do. But here it says, they will declare the work of God and consider what he has done. How are we going to declare the work of God if we don't believe God? We won't. We need to be in the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to find places in the Word to believe from. He's given us a map on how to do that. He's shown us all the things we need to do to take care of that. A righteous man will be glad in the Lord and will take refuge in him. When I have trouble sleeping, I pray a little prayer and just ask that I could lay in the bosom of Christ for a moment. And my anxiety, my fears, the tumult that goes on in my head shuts up and I get to rest. Not always, because I'm not always believing my prayer is going to be answered. But that works. And all the upright in heart will glory. When the Old Testament talks about glory, is it glory or is it glory? That globe right there has its own glory. It's a light. That's what God is. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. He is that glory that we're talking about here. It says, all upright in heart, all the upright in heart will glory, which means they'll become part of that light. They're going to be, I'm going to be. If you have the Holy Spirit in you and you're trying to do the right thing, I'm not saying you're going to do the right thing, because you're probably not. But if you're upright in your heart, you will glory. That means you will become the light with Jesus Christ and our Lord. Our Lord God, our Father in heaven, the creator of everything, is calling us to himself by that statement. I can't wait for the day of glory in my life, which means my death. I have family here that doesn't like me saying that because every breath I take, I'm closer to my last. It's not the favorite saying in my house, but I say it all the time. I'm looking forward to it. I am not looking forward to leaving people behind. But I am looking forward to being in that glory with God. Some of the things that this scripture brought to mind that keep me from being in that glory of God is what the enemy is. Who is the enemy? I told you, I don't have a lot of enemies. I don't have a lot of people after me. But I do have some enemies. Do you know who they are? If you don't, let me tell you, you got them in your head. Never met anybody that didn't have something in their head telling them they're not good enough, they're not smart enough, they're not strong enough, I should be skinnier, I should be fatter, I should be able to do this, I shouldn't be this old, I shouldn't be this young, I shouldn't do, and I can't do, and I won't do. And that tumult going on inside of your head is real, and it's an enemy attack going against you. This is how Satan works so sneakily. He works his way into our thoughts and makes us believe in untruths about ourselves. I can't stand up here and teach. I can't preach. Who do I think I am? What do I think I am? If I'm not careful, what's in the depth of my heart will answer that and agree with it. But I have the Savior. I have the Holy Spirit that tells me, look to God because he's got that answer. The one you have is wrong. Believing in those things is wrong. It's not good for you. This is not something that God wants you to have. This is something that Christ died. He paid a price for that on the cross. He paid that price for us on the cross with his blood. He bought us wholeheartedly. And wholeheartedly, he bought us fully. Everything about us. Like I said earlier, God wants you to tell him the things that are in your mind and on your heart. He wants to hear from us. What is our purpose on this earth? God's good pleasure. Every human being, not Christians, not Muslims, not atheists, not just them, not just us, but everybody was placed here for God's good pleasure. It's our free will that keeps us from being that, his good pleasure. And he gave us the opportunity to have free will so we can make our own choice. Do we want to glorify God, which is acknowledge the light that he is and be part of that? Or do we want to turn away and stay in a dark spot? When I think of the depths, I think of a deep well. If you dig far enough down in a well and look up, in the middle of the day, you see stars above you because the light hasn't caught to you from there, and the sky isn't blue, it's black. And you can see stars in the middle of the day from the bottom of a well. That's the depths that our heart can go, and even deeper. Those things need to be drawn out. Godly counsel draws those things out, can draw out the things that are in the heart of a man. If you don't have an accountability partner or someone that is a close brother in Christ, someone that can come to you and say, that what you're thinking here is wrong. Please listen to what I have to say. Not condemning you, but trying to warn you that you need to take another look. If you don't have that in your life, I recommend that you find that person and find them immediately and do not let them go. Our world is not going to get easier. It is not going to get safer. It is not going to stop having waves and floods and all the other stuff that destroy human beings. It's not going to happen. It's going to continue to get worse. As the day approaches, we need to continue to meet with one another. We need to confess to one another, pray for each other, so that we may be healed. That healing that I'm talking about is the one that shuts off the rat race, the scramble in your head, the tumult that's going on inside of your brain that's trying to keep you from doing what you know is right. Trying to keep you from being able to focus on what God wants you to focus on. Worry really, really works. Because most of the stuff I ever worry about never happens. Does that make sense? Nobody laughed. That's okay. Yeah, I'll take the little bit of chuckle. Worry doesn't work. Prayer works. When we pray and we expect God to answer extremely and right away, we're going to be disappointed because our right away and his right away are two different things. I can't remember what it's called now. The TV show, it's a series, what's it called? Huh? No. Not that one. I'm not going to be able to remember it. But they make fun of the word soon. Huh? The Chosen, there we go. They make fun of the word soon. When are you going to do that? Soon. When soon? Soon. How do you know when soon is? You'll know soon. All those things, I just added to all the garbage that's going on inside your head and made that twist just a little bit faster. And a little bit harsher, but it's reality. This is what the world does to us. If we expect the world or our Lord to work like the world, we are going to be sorely mistaken. So, I have lost myself completely in preaching and have I'm going to share with you. This is my sermon notes. I only need this one. And I didn't preach on four of the things that are there. Okay? But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit use me to encourage you to get away from the enemy that's on your insides and look for the victory that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Look for the victory that God's promised us. Look for the glory that's in the end of this verse. The righteous man will be glad, and the Lord will take refuge in him, that we'll be able to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ in peace and in comfort with all the things that are wrong in our lives, all the things that have happened before, and the things that are coming, that we'll find a place of peace there. And all the upright in heart will glory. That means shine. And not just shine like that. Shine. I don't know how to describe it. I don't think you can. But so that brightness, that thing, that's where God wants us to come to. And he wants us to start enjoying that now before we get there, knowing that it's coming and knowing that we have that in store for us. This is the positive stuff that Christ talked about. It's Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they will see the face of God. They will see the Lord. They will see his face. Pure in heart means to help yourself, purify yourself. Use your friends, use your Christian buddies, use the people around you and your family if they're safe. Friends if your family is not safe. Use people that you disagree with and people that disagree with you to lead you to a true standing. Then your heart will become pure. Slowly, sure, assuredly, but it will become pure, and we will receive the promise that Christ made on the Sermon on the Mount. That's my prayer for all of you. Now, let me finish with a prayer. Lord, I thank you that just the opportunity to get up here and speak. Lord, I pray that the teaching, the preaching that I attempted to do would glorify the name of Jesus Christ, not just tickle ears here, but would glorify the name of God, that we would know that you are Lord and you are present in this place, present in our lives, and that you are with all those who are suffering now, all those who are praising you now, all those who are weeping today, all those who are singing and dancing today, that you are here and you are with us all. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.